Good morning. How are you doing? The former Lib Dem leader, Paddy Ashton, has said if he lived in Northern Ireland, he would be hard put not to consider a united Ireland. Lord Ashton was writing on Twitter after the landslide yes vote in the Republic's referendum on liberalising abortion laws. He wrote, "A wonderful beauty is being born. Ireland is becoming an advanced modern EU state. The effect in Northern Ireland should not be underestimated. My grandfather signed the Ulster Declaration. But if the UK Brexits and I lived in Northern Ireland, I would be hard put not to consider reunification." Well, let's get your reaction to this today. 030 30 80 55 55. The commentators Alison Morris and Alex Kane with us this morning. Alison, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Alex, morning to you.
Morning, Stephen. Morning,
Alex. So here we are into a conversation once again about a reunification, about a united Ireland because of Brexit, Alex.
Well, do you know, Stephen, there's nothing particularly new about this. I remember writing, oddly enough, back in, I think, the first time, August 2016, which is what, 2 months after the Brexit results, saying that however the arrangements worked out, hard border, soft border, all the other bits and bobs in between, that for the first time in my lifetime, Irish unity had been pushed way, 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 almost to the top of the political agenda. And all sorts of things which wouldn't have had a knock-on impact on that had it not been for Brexit have come into play. And it's what Paddy Ashton's comment about abortion is. Because whatever side of the fence you take in this, Stephen, it is quite clear that Northern Ireland, with just on two big issues, for example, same-sex marriage and abortion, just take those in isolation by themselves, it is now out of step with England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, and the Republic. So, yeah, in one sense, it does look a bit like a place apart. So if there is to be a border poll anytime soon, and I'm not 100% sure there will be all that soon, but it suddenly, those issues will become part of the package. And to be honest, Stephen, somebody said to me 20 years ago that if we ever have a border poll, part of the knock-on impact of that and how people would vote would be maybe abortion, would maybe same-sex marriage. You would have dismissed it out of hand, but things have changed. Things have changed completely beyond our normal understanding of the old orange and green or the border versus the United Kingdom. All of that has changed. Issues which would not have been up for discussion even 2-3 years ago are now up for discussion. Personally, I'm not sure that it would have as big an impact as some people think it will, because identity is a much more personal thing than your view on social or moral issues and things like that. But yeah, they are factors now.
When you say things have changed fundamentally, do you think we are closer to United Ireland?
No, actually, if there was a border poll now, Stephen, if there was a border poll, I think even in, well, it's become more difficult to make that call. I think that is true. If there was a border poll in the next few months or something like that, even before Brexit, I think it's unlikely. If there was one immediately after, I still think it's unlikely. The demographs suggest, if you look at some polls, that it's maybe 10, 15, 20 years down the line. But that's based on some polls have suggested that if you're from a Roman Catholic family, you'll automatically support United Ireland. I don't know if that's true. It's never been tested. We've never had this sort of poll. The last poll we had was, I think, 1973, which was boycotted by nationalists overall, so it gave a very one-sided picture. What is interesting is that the Queen's University poll that was done last week suggested that it was 21% for a United Ireland, which got unionists terribly excited, but only 50.3% for remaining in the United Kingdom. That is the lowest actual percentage poll, hardcore poll, for the union that there's ever been. So it suggests there are a lot of things to play for that wouldn't have been played for 2, 3, 4 years ago. But as it stands, if you're asking people to make a key decision about their identity, about who they feel, about what they want to be, about the status quo, about the risks involved, I still think that at this stage, Stephen, certainly in the next 1, 2, 3 years, I would be genuinely surprised if there was a majority on the day for a united Ireland.
Alison?
I think the thing is, nobody, I don't think, is suggesting that there's a border poll this time next year or the following year. This is like a process. And the thing about the referendum in the South is that people voted in favour, overwhelmingly in favour, of changing their constitution because they knew what they were voting for. So there had been draft legislation and they knew what it is they were being asked to vote for. If you say we have a border poll, say, in 5 years' time or 10 years' time, and by which stage we have mapped out what we think that Ireland will look like when it's unified, that would be different, because people want to know economics, want to know about the national health. But if you take the demographics alone, I think that we should be very silly to take demographics in terms of nationalists and unionists, because if you look at how people voted in the South in the recent referendum when it came to 18 to 24-year-olds, I think it was over 80% voted yes. And that shows a massive social change from that generation. And that's a massive social change from that generation, regardless of your religious denomination. That's a change of people who just want to live in a progressive society. And young unionists, I don't think, want to live in any less of a progressive society than young nationalists. And this is where the problem arises, I think, for the DUP. And everybody else looking from the outside in can see that what they're doing is damaging to the union.
But
the
how
stopping social change is damaging to the union, but they seem to be the only people who can't see that.
But Alison, and this is the rub, isn't it? This is at the core of the discussion. In how you describe a progressive society, are you suggesting that a substantial number of unionists would give up their would prioritise a progressive society, your words not mine, ahead of remaining in the union?
I think there's a section of unionism, and I know that I was at a talk last week with Marvin Gibson, who would say that regardless of their economics, regardless of their social situation, they would always vote to remain in the UK. Should it mean that, you know, they were homeless living in a cardboard box, they'd still vote to remain in the UK. But that's going to change, and I think that you'll find that changes because the world has changed, Europe has changed, we have all changed, and you can see that from the staggering pace of social change in the South. A place that when I was a child was run basically by the state and the Catholic Church were entwined. And now we have a place that is a modern society where, like, I mean, I think most people probably didn't expect there to be a 68% in favour of yes in that referendum. But that shows that from all generations, and that's the same everywhere. I don't believe that Northern Ireland's any different. I don't believe that we're some little last sort of bastion of Christian values. I think it's something that's being imposed on people here. We've become so used to it, I think, that most people don't fight against it. And it's only when something happens in the South that makes you see people stand back and say, yes, we are being left behind. Women are being left behind. The LGBT community are being left behind. And just in general society, it's being left behind in how we're viewed.
I've got to say, though, Alison,
around the world.
Yeah, but unless things are going to change, we know that previous election results obviously show that most people revert back to defending either the union or their wish for a united Ireland more than voting because of policies.
And I think that Sinn Féin and the DUP have encouraged that. You know, the sort of vote for Martin, get, you know, or get Ireland, vote for Ireland or get Martin campaign, that works to a certain degree, but that's not going to work forever because that is no longer going to be the priority. When we have Brexit, it's all going to depend on economics for a start. So if Brexit's a disaster, that's going to sway some people. And if we continue to have this ridiculous opposition to social change that just doesn't bear out in any society. And then you have people like Lord Ashton, someone who's, you know, a member of the British establishment, a former soldier who served in Northern Ireland, saying something like that. Well, what I cannot understand how hardline unionists aren't taking notice of that and why they're continuing to keep this sort of entrenched position, because the only people they're damaging is the union. If the union was a comfortable place for young people, regardless of whether they were nationalists, regardless of whether unionists, regardless of whether they were neither, you would find it'll last a lot longer. I don't think anyone thinks that the union's going to break up in the next 2 years, but if there was a border poll in, say, 5 or 10 years and we continue to live in this place where nothing ever changes, I imagine there'll be a very different shift. And if people were told what it would look like, you can't vote for something if you don't know what you're voting for. And at this point in time, no one would know what they were voting for. And I don't think that many nationalists would vote in favour of unifying an Ireland that they didn't know how they were going to live or how their bills were going to be paid. But if we knew what it was going to look like, that would be different.
I think this could be a really interesting conversation this morning. Do you think this would change how you would vote in Northern Ireland? 030 30 80 55 55. 030 30 80 55 55. Mervyn in Hollywood. Morning, Mervyn.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
I actually think Alison's absolutely right, because I'll tell you I think Mr. Rushdown's statement is an anti-Brexit statement. He's warning us, especially people of Northern Ireland, the situation we may face if Brexit takes place. I personally think it's not going to happen, but there you go. Unionism today is basically going nowhere. And I had a very short talk with Alex a few weeks ago in Hollywood about this. It's going absolutely nowhere. It is not organised. It has not come up with one decent political idea or political agenda to move the union forward. It's sleepwalking into a united Ireland. And that's where I strongly believe that we are heading for a united Ireland simply because of the lack of cohesion within unionism today.
Alex?
Morning, Mervyn. I remember that conversation. I was sitting having a cup of coffee with Indy, and Mervyn came up and said hello. I think the point here, Stephen, is had a border poll pre-Brexit, say 5 years ago, had there been, there wouldn't have been, but had there been one, the issue would simply have been UK versus United Ireland. What we have now are factors we never, ever thought of before. The Brexit factor. Do people who have been, so let's call them soft nationalists, soft unionists, reasonably happy that their multiplicity of identities, their European identity, their cultural identity, was protected within the European Union? There was nothing that a UK government, no matter how right-wing or left-wing it was, there was nothing one of those governments could do. That's changed. The back of their minds is this sense that maybe things will never be the same for them. We have the socially progressive politics on abortion, on same-sex marriage, on licensing laws, and a number of other issues, Stephen. And it's worth bearing in mind, I keep saying this to unions, and I've told you before, Alison knows this as well, I have no trouble with my unions, so I'm quite happy and we'll vote to stay in the United Kingdom. But yeah, you cannot say, as a unionist, we believe in the values of the United Kingdom. We believe in being part of the United Kingdom. But say, on certain key issues, we're not the same. So if England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, you want to do certain things, that's fine. In Northern Ireland, somehow we are a place apart. That is bad for unionism. Part of the United Kingdom, Stephen, can never be a place apart. And Alison's right. On these issues, to be quite honest, Stephen, DUP got, 270,000-280,000 votes or something like that, maybe 290 at the last general election. No one is telling me, Stephen, that every single one of those voters, even a majority necessarily of those voters, are opposed to abortion law reform, are opposed to same-sex marriage, are opposed to a change in the licensing laws, are opposed to increasing secularisation. They are voting, as Alison says they would in the border poll, on what they see as a unionist issue because we're now so polarised. But you drill down and ask those people privately, and I meet a lot of people in panels, meetings, conferences, just in the street, people like Mervyn who come up and chat to me. So many of those people are telling me, Steve, I have one guy summed it up perfectly and about a month ago to me. He said, Alex, you know something? Same-sex marriage, abortion law makes no difference to my unionism. But I am aware that when I talk to some friends and family who don't live in Northern Ireland, that they see us as different. And if you look at Arlene Foster's speech last week in London to the policy exchange, for the first time in my lifetime, maybe the first time ever, you had a leader of unionism admitting to a London audience that a lot of people across the UK didn't actually understand unionism. They didn't get local unionism. And they're not going to get local unionism, Stephen, if it continues to look like something entirely different from the unionism in the rest of England, Scotland and Wales. And particularly now, not only east, but going south, they look different as well. That is not good for any country to look like. And I know the DUP say, oh, we're defending this, we're defending that. They're not, Stephen. If there was a vote in the Assembly, Jim Welch said if there was a vote in the Assembly, I don't know what the exact figures would be, but if there's a vote in the Assembly, he still seems to suggest that the DUP would use a petition of concern. But even though they find themselves in a minority in the Assembly on these issues, they would still use a petition of concern. That is also bad.
Okay.
It looks like unionism is stopping deliberately things rather than enhancing.
Christopher in East Belfast next. Morning, Christopher.
How you doing, Stephen? So, I'm just wondering, so the thing about a lot of people have been asking about referendums and so on. He says, would there be any reason why they can't put a referendum out to the people of Northern Ireland? It says where you're covering, it says same-sex marriage, abortion, the border poll, et cetera, put it all out there and give it yes or no answers and then see how the people think. Rather than keeping it a green or orange answer, just let's see what
the
people
think.
Well,
do you vote based on orange-green?
No, I don't. I basically vote for people who can actually do something for me. Says I don't mind saying what I vote for. I vote for Alliance most of the time, simply because my mother was one of the founder members of it. I just can't see why people can't just or why we can't just ask for a vote from the people to say what the answer is, rather than having the green or orange aspect to it.
Stephen?
Alison?
Yeah. We don't need a referendum. The South had to have a referendum because they had to change their constitution. A referendum here would not be legally binding. We have already had votes on all these issues in the Assembly, and all of these votes passed but were blocked by a petition of concern. The change, the social change was blocked here because one party exercised the petition of concern and blocked it. A referendum is something that takes place for a very specific reason. We certainly don't need a referendum in Northern Ireland to say that a 14-year-old child who has been raped should be held hostage and made to give birth. That is not something we should have a referendum over. We have the powers to legislate. We don't have an assembly now. Westminster could legislate on this quite easily, and they should legislate on it. But we certainly don't need a referendum. You can't be asking people's opinion whether they should vote on something that is a basic medical human right, and a referendum in Northern Ireland would not be legally binding anyway. It could still be blocked, you know, if we had an assembly. So it's a nonsense to say we need a referendum. They had a referendum that says it was very...
Well, what a referendum would...
change their constitution.
Surely, Alison, what a referendum would do, it would nail what those people who actually voted in it actually think, because there's speculation, isn't there? And you had the likes of Jim Wells on Nolan yesterday saying that he felt that this was a reaction to the Catholic Church. That's why there was overwhelming support in the South. A referendum here would at least show the definitive result.
But the Catholic Church in the main stayed out of the referendum down South because, and rightly so, because they didn't have a leg to stand on when it came to preaching to anyone about morality. But when it comes to the North, I don't believe that is the case. And I do think what Alex said is true. I mean, we've heard people, I've seen somebody being interviewed for BBC The Documentary who said she voted for the DUP, but her daughter was gay and she didn't vote on that issue. She voted because she didn't want Martin McGuinness to be the First Minister. So a lot of people who did vote for the DUP certainly do not believe in those very right-wing social issues and the blocking of social change. They're just afraid. And I think that they're afraid because they're told that they're under threat. But what would happen and what should happen is the people who we've already elected should have either voted and passed this legislation a long time ago because they had the numbers to vote and pass it. And if not, because Westminster knows that those people voted to pass it and was blocked by a petition of concern, they have a duty of care to people who live here. And they have more of a duty of care now than they've ever had, given the fact that they've went into a deal with the DUP, which has been damaging to Northern Ireland. They should then correct and right that wrong and introduce this legislation immediately. And not have what we have now is a situation, and I think that the DUP need to consider this too, where we have Mary Lou McDonald, the leader of Sinn Féin, in the South, saying that she is going to fight to make sure that women in the North are entitled to access abortions in the South. So when they have someone who is the Southern leader of a political party doing something that should be done by local politicians here, that is again just going to weaken the union. It's like as if you can see this like train crash that's about to happen up the lines, and the DUP are the only people that don't realise it's coming. I mean, they must say that their actions at this point in time are not only damaging their own reputations in Britain. I mean, you could see by the reaction of English politicians, of Paddy Ashton and of the English press, who were shocked. I don't think a lot of people even realised that they were living in this way.
The DUP would no doubt say that their views on abortion are clear, were clearly known before they stood for election, and look at the mandate that they got. Dan in Lisburn. Hello, Dan. Morning, Dan.
Hello there.
Go ahead, Dan.
1619, there was a debtor's prison built off Green Street in Dublin. It was the initial, the first ever Hotel California. It was a debtor's prison. 2008-2010, the Irish government faced financial ruin. The British government bailed out two banks in Ireland to the tune of £21 billion. 2010, the European Union asked George Osborne to bail out Ireland to the tune of £7 billion. The Adam Smith Foundation begged him not to do it, as the British taxpayer had already faced enough austerity bailing out the banks. But he went ahead to do it. Basically, Ireland is a debtor's prison. We had, in 2010, the Loans to Ireland Act. Not the loans to Bangladesh, the loans to some other third world country. We, and Northern Ireland, guaranteed that loan. So when will anybody ever want to join a debtor's prison, which is the United Ireland.
Alex?
I think there is a fair point there in the sense that if there's going to be a discussion about the United Ireland, Alison's right in when she says that there will be some people, irrespective on both sides, even irrespective of the economics, the heart will lead them to the United Kingdom or United Ireland. That's the nature of the fact. So the other issue, if there's going to be a serious border poll at any stage, and I'm not sure, I'm not expecting it anytime soon, but if there's to be a serious, this can't just be a debate between Sinn Féin and the DUP. This will have to involve the Irish government, will have to involve the Irish political establishment. All the figures will have to be set out. All the issues on pensions, on the NHS, on jobs, on the economy, on the 10 billion subvention from the president from the UK, plus all the other, all of that will have to be discussed, Stephen. People say, oh, the South couldn't afford this. I don't know if they can or can't because I haven't seen all the figures. What I do know is that if you create a United Ireland, which has not existed in the lifetime, in the sense of a free, sovereign, independent state, it has not existed in the lifetime of anybody on either side of the border. It raises huge questions, economic questions, social questions, political questions, electoral questions. Hundreds of thousands of unionists have found themselves in the United Ireland. That would have an enormous impact on the Dáil, Stephen. You could have a group of unionists, 20 or 30 TDs, holding the balance of power forever. Yeah, they might be better off in those situations. We don't know. We don't know the answer to any of those questions. What Alison said right at the start of this interview, Stephen, all of my instincts as someone who's pro-union, it would nick one hell of an argument, and I mean one hell of an argument, Stephen, to convince someone like me. I just don't see the argument being there. But if anyone wants it, as I say, it can't just be Mary Lou saying, oh, give us this, give us that, we have a United Ireland. It isn't that simple, Stephen. It's a much more complicated issue than that. We're not hearing anything from the Irish political establishment. We're not hearing anything from ordinary people down south about whether they like the idea of a United Ireland. So, yeah, all of those issues, that will take years. And even if there was a border poll and a majority in Northern Ireland voted to leave the United Kingdom, it would take years for the North and South to facilitate that transition, to make all those decisions seem. So this notion that some people put about, oh, what can be done tomorrow, border poll, maybe a new nation, no, that's not going to happen. This is going to be very, very long. And that's why I say, Stephen, my instinct, and I could be barking on this, maybe I'm biased, I accept that, but I just think if people look very closely at all of the issues involved, not just identity, economics, all of that, I suspect that those who want the United Ireland may find it a much more difficult sell than they presently think.
And just a point of order this morning, Alison, Jim Wells is listening to the programme today. He's contacted us to say that the DUP did not use a petition of concern when they decided on abortion. And indeed, we've looked at the vote and the vote was 59-40. Okay.
It was a possession of current third same-sex marriage. What Alex said there is right. I mean, I would be surprised if we had a border poll in the next 10 years because we need to know what it's going to look like. And to map that out is going to take a long time. And to show the economics, that's going to take a long time. And also for whatever Irish government is in power and then to show the will is going to take a long time. So I think that we're probably talking at least, I'd be surprised if it was, if you called a border poll in 5 years to take place in 10 years, I think that would probably be about the timing that most people would expect. It's not going to happen immediately or because of Brexit.
William in Belfast. Morning, William.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, William.
Stephen asked Alison, where's the tangible evidence of the disaster of Brexit? That's just conjecture. She's not analysing it. It's all like fake news. Every morning, all I hear is disaster, disaster, hard border, hard border. There's no one wants a hard border that I know about, and there's nobody has tangible evidence of a disaster of Brexit. You must think of the British government under Theresa May. She may be slow to make up her mind. I don't think she'll be walking into something that's disastrous. It may well be when we look at Italy, never talk about Italy, never talk about Hungary, probably never talk about the problems in the European Union. It may well be the Irish government will turn around and say, God, we found it up there. We should have followed the United Kingdom. I know the DUP, you could talk about them being a disaster, but not the United Kingdom.
Listen, thank you very much.